Welcome to class three of 8 days, eight classes, illuminating the darkness through the lessons of Hanukkah. We're excited today for today's class. As we mentioned yesterday, we're going to be talking about habits, how Hanukkah can help rid you of bad habits. Yesterday we talked about steps and how growth is really step by step. That was the lesson of the Hanukkah candles, that we light a new candle every day until we reach eight candles on the final day. And that real growth really takes time. So today we're going to talk about another aspect of growth and how to rid ourselves of bad habits and how to develop good habits. We all have habits. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. When we repeatedly engage in activity, it becomes habitual and almost second nature. Hanukkah is really an ideal time to change our habits. And I want to explain why. But first we want to do a few little introductions before we can really get to the main lesson. And let's explain by revisiting a very famous story in the Torah, and the biblical story of Yaakov, Jacob, and the wrestling match. The story tells us that Jacob was left alone in the middle of the night before he was about to meet up with his brother Esau, who he hadn't met for many years, after he had fled and he stole the birthright from him, and he fled, ran away, and finally came back, and we're about to have the encounter. But the night before, he was left alone, and he met up with an angel who is Esau's divine representative, and they had a physical battle, a wrestling match. The Torah tells us that something really incredible happened, that when the angel saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he hit him in the joint of his thigh, and it became dislocated. The joint of his thigh, the word in Hebrew is kaf yerech. So he hit the joint of Yaakov's thigh. So then tells us that in spite of this injury, he continued fighting. Jacob continued fighting, and he won. He was able to defeat his brother, or his brother's angel, before actually meeting him in the flesh, and he walked away with a limp. Now, there's an interesting verse that follows that tells us that the Jewish people from now on are not allowed to eat the sciatic nerve, because this angel hit and injured Jacob in that area with a sciatic nerve. We'll explain a little bit more about that prohibition in a moment, but one of the interesting things about, why are we talking about this? What does this have to do with Hanukkah? So the Kabbalists explain that Hanukkah is really the rectification of this injury. Why so? Because the word in Hebrew for the small jug of oil that we found in Hanukkah in the temple that was used for the Hanukkah miracle that lit for 8 days, that word in Hebrew is called pach. The word for the jug is pach. In Hebrew it's pei chaf. And if you reverse those letters, you get the letter kaf, which is the joint, it's the thigh joint. So we see that they're related because it's really the same letter is reversed, and that the Hanukkah oil, the jug of oil, is a rectification for that joint which was injured by the angel. So that sounds, it's a nice play on words, but what does one have to do with the other? What does a jug of oil have to do with the thigh joint? So to answer this question, let's explain a little bit about how Hanukkah is an ideal time to change our habits. And before we get there, one more introduction is the laws of Hanukkah and when we actually light the candles. One of the reasons that we light the Hanukkah candles is we have a special commandment to publicize the miracle. We want as many people as possible to be able to see the Hanukkah candles, to publicize that miracle. So in the olden days, and actually nowadays, if you've ever been to Israel on Hanukkah or see pictures, a lot of people do this, they used to light outside. They actually light the Hanukkah candles right outside of their house. Now, once the Jewish people were in exile, people started lighting inside the house. But many people even today still light, the people who don't light outside, even when they light inside the house, they're particular about lighting by the window because they want people to be able to see it. There's certain laws about how high you can put the candles. You want it to be within eyesight that people can see it. So when the Talmud explains this law about when to light the candles and where to light the candles, it says that the candles should be lit from the time the sun sets, and in the Hebrew it says, until ad shetich l'regel min hashuk, which literally means until the last foot leaves the marketplace. Meaning you want to light Hanukkah candles when people are outside. Once no one is out and about, there's really no publicizing the miracle because there's no one to see it. So, and if you're going to light at midnight and you're in a place where there's no one out at midnight, then you would not be lighting the Hanukkah candles in the proper time. So you want to make sure that it's that you're publicizing the miracle. So this term about ad shetich l'regel min hashuk, until the last foot leaves the marketplace, is very interesting. Because the word in Hebrew, and the Hebrew language is very interesting because the words are, the same root for one word can be used for another word as well. So two different words can share the same root. And if you examine and study it, there's usually a connection. It's not coincidental that one word has the same root as the other. There's usually a hidden connection. So the word for foot in Hebrew is regel, and this has the same root as hergel. You can tell from the pronunciation. Hergel means habit. So there's something about a foot that relates to habit. It could be because when we're accustomed to something, one walks into it, so to speak. They're kind of walking and doing the same thing over and over again, and that becomes a habit. So we see there's a connection between a foot and a habit. So how does this help us with Hanukkah? So the Hasidic masters explain that spiritually, when we light the Hanukkah candles, we bring about so much light that we're able to burn up our old habits. And how do we learn this? We learn this from the statement of, until the last foot leaves the marketplace. Because we translate the foot, we replace it with foot, we replace it with the word habit. So until the habit is destroyed. The light of Hanukkah can help us destroy our bad habits and create new habits. So this play on words that the connection between foot and habit is, even though it literally means until the habit is kind of until the foot is destroyed from the marketplace, meaning until the last foot leaves, it can also mean until the habit is destroyed from the marketplace, which is also kind of the public domain where it's, you know, every man for themselves, as opposed to the private domain, which is the more referred to as a more spiritual entity. So this is how. So the light of these Hanukkah candles helps us. We have to light them until we actually destroy the bad habits and create new ones. So the word Hanukkah itself means to rededicate. We talk about the rededication of the temple. It means, and that's what happened, that after the Greeks desecrated the temple, the Jewish people, the Maccabees came in, we came in and we found a little cruse of oil, and we rededicated the temple. So Hanukkah means to rededicate, and it means to begin something for the first time. It's the same root word as for education in Hebrew, which is called chinuch. And chinuch, it's education, but as with every word in Hebrew, it doesn't just mean, there's always a deeper meaning to it. And we see various parallels with the same root word, that chinuch, education in Hebrew, it means to really initiate someone in the trade for which one is destined. So it's an initiation. It's bringing out the inherent potential, the latent potential, which is in the child, and bringing that out and making it come to reality. So Hanukkah is the ideal time to really rededicate ourselves to bring out our own potential and to begin anew and to get rid of those old habits and to develop new ones. And I'm not going to go into the various explanations, but there are certain verses that we say from Psalms that further explain how Hanukkah is a time to actually introduce good habits. But that's a little bit too much detail for our purposes today. So let's just recap right now. So we said that the Hanukkah candles, the jug of oil is a rectification for the thigh joint that was dislocated by the angel. And we explain that we light Hanukkah candles outside, and that, at least in the old days, so people will see them, and it's in order to get rid of, or to said about the time until the last foot leaves the marketplace, and then that also means that until we destroy the habit. So Hanukkah is the opportunity to, the light of Hanukkah helps us destroy the bad habits. So bad habits, when we're stuck in a habit, we're literally ensnared. We can't move. We're kind of stuck in this trap that we've created for ourselves. And as much as we might want to do something different, it feels almost impossible. Interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for trap is pach. Now, it's a different pach. This is a pei and ches, for those of you who know Hebrew. It's a different. It sounds exactly the same as the word for the jug of oil. It's a different spelling. But the Hebrew word for pach is pach. Now, in Hebrew, every letter has a numerical value. So, for example, the first letter in Hebrew is aleph, or let's say in English, the first letter would be A, so the numerical value would be 1. And then the second letter, B, or in Hebrew, bays, is 2, and so on. So they go 1 through 10, and then 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, and up 200, 400, 600. So the numerical value for the word pach is 80, pay is 80, and ches is 8. So we get 88. So the word for trap, meaning a trap that ensnares us, is the numerical value 88. Interestingly enough, the Kabbalists explain that we actually light 88 candles on Hanukkah. So how is that possible? You're probably thinking about your Hanukkah menorah, like, we don't light that many candles. So let's explain. Now, if we light a new candle each night, that equals 36 candles. Now, we also have one candle that we always light, which is called the Shamus. That's the candle that we use to light the Hanukkah candle. So the first night, even though we're only lighting one Hanukkah candle, we have the special Shamus candle, which lights each candle. So every night we have one of these Shamus candles. So we are physically lighting, over the course of the 8 days of Hanukkah, 44 candles. So that doesn't equal 88. So how do we get to 88? So the Kabbalists explain that on a spiritual level, just as we light candles below, on a spiritual level, those same amount of candles are being lit above in heaven. So that, in a sense, there are really 88, in terms of the spiritual energy that's happening, there are 88 candles that are lit on Hanukkah. So 88 is the numerical value for snare. And that the 88 candles help us, that light, that special light of those 88 candles that we lit on Hanukkah, help us get out of that trap that we've made for ourselves. And that helps us get out of those habits. So, you know, what is this? Is this just something, you know, is this something magical that, you know, I'm just, you strike a match, I light a candle, say a few prayers, and then all of a sudden it just helps us get out of our old habits, our bad habits, to get out of that snare? How does that work? Well, the truth is that there is something very special to doing that, that there's something special when someone lights the Hanukkah candles, that it has a very special effect on their soul and on the entire world, even though it seems like a physical act. But every physical act we do in Judaism is symbolic for something spiritual, and we believe that it has a great impact on our soul and even the entire world. So it's not something to be underestimated. But I want to explain it on a deeper level also to help us understand what we can do on our part besides just the physical act, but what we can have in mind and what we can personally work on to achieve the growth and to be able to change our habits. Because we all know that even though we might have some type of divine assistance by lighting the candles to help us with our habits, if we don't actually work on them or aware of what our habits are, our bad habits or the habits that we want to develop, nothing's going to happen. So how does it work? So let's understand why the Hanukkah candles help us get out of our bad habits. Let's go back to that original question we had. How can Hanukkah candles, how can the jug of oil rectify the dislocated thigh joint? So let's go back to our story of the wrestling match. So we told about the angel of Esau. He fought Jacob, he fought Yaakov, and we're told that we want to remember that injury, what happened, by not eating that sciatic nerve where Jacob was injured. That forever, until this day, the Jewish people are particular about not eating the sciatic nerve. It has to be removed before eating and before eating beef, after they slaughtered the cow, we're forbidden to eat it. So the word for sciatic nerve in Hebrew is called gid hanasha. And Nasha is, it means to forget in Hebrew. It's the word Kinishani Elakim. It's a, another verse talks about forgetting, using the same root word for nashe. So the idea is that there's something about the evil, and this is, we're talking about Esau's guardian angel, that evil can only overpower us when we have this quality of forgetfulness, when we forget about God, when we're unconscious. This is when destruction occurs. So interesting, the Zohar, the Kabbalah says that every commandment in the Torah corresponds to a different day of the year. And this commandment of not eating the sciatic nerve corresponds to Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, which is the day that the Jewish people commemorate all of the various calamities that have occurred. Both temples were destroyed on this day. This Inquisition began on this day. Many other events and calamities for the Jewish people happen on this day, the ninth of Av. And that's because this is a day which the power of forgetfulness, forgetting God, which is really ultimately what destruction is about, occurs. So by not eating this, it reminds us of what the angel tried to do to help us forget God, that the only aspect that the forces of evil can have over us is when we forget about God. So how does this tie into Hanukkah? Because we're saying that the Hanukkah jug of oil rectifies this dislocated thigh joint. The Hanukkah candles are the opposite. We know that the Greek exile, as we talked about yesterday, is referred to as darkness. Actually, the first day we talked about it, it's darkness, hachoshech. And that if you rearrange the words choshech, darkness, it spells the words in Hebrew shikcha, which is also another word for forgetting. And we say actually in the Hanukkah prayers that one of the things that the Greeks were trying to do to us was lahashkicham torasecha, to help us forget God's Torah. So the Greeks were trying to help us forget God. That's why they are referred to as darkness. Even though they had the light of, they had this wonderful gift of philosophy and logic, but because they were trying to help us forget God, it was truly darkness. So the darkness, the forgetfulness of God, is what is represented by this dislocation of the thigh joint. Hanukkah is the antidote. The Talmud lists a few remedies to help with forgetfulness. And one of the things the Talmud advises is that if a person wants to improve their memory, they don't necessarily have to take ginkgo, that they can take olive oil. By eating olive oil, drinking olive oil, that can actually help your memory. Olive oil is, the jug of olive oil represents this, remembering God. This is the antidote to what Esau's angel tried to do. Esau's angel tried to help us forget God, but the olive oil helped us remember God. This is how Hanukkah rectifies the dislocated thigh joint. It helps us remember God because, as we said, even though a person could think that the Hanukkah story was just about us the Jewish people defeating winning a war against the enemies, the truth is, it was a miraculous event. It was defying the odds. And even though you could look back in history, we needed to have the miracle of the oil, because otherwise you could look back, you know, a few years later and say, okay, well, why did we beat the Greeks? It was just, we had a better army, or we were just able to beat them. There was some other reason why we were stronger. Whatever it was, there was some reason why we were able to win the war. It had nothing to do with God, per se. But when we couple that with the miracle of the candles lighting, it helps us remember that really the miracle of the war also was a miracle. Just as the candles were a miracle, so too the war was a miracle. So we needed to have this other miracle connected, paired with the lighting, with the war. So, how does this help us with our habits? How does this, we explain how it rectifies, how Hanukkah, how the jug of oil helps us rectify the dislocated thigh joint, which represents forgetting God. But how does this help us with habits? We said that Hanukkah candles help us get out of our bad habits. So, really, they're both linked together. That in the only way we can change and get out of our habits is if we have awareness, if we are conscious of what we're doing. if we're forgetful in a sense, meaning we're not aware, we're not conscious, then we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. The light of Hanukkah represents really waking up, shining the light on our actions, and taking the time to be introspective and really exercising our free will by choosing how to behave. I see this all the times with couples, and that when they feel like they're repeating the same behaviors over and over again, when they realize and become aware of what may seem to be knee-jerk reactions, and really understand where it's coming from, why they're doing what they're doing, they can, or realizing that they're actually doing something in the first place that's harmful, they can finally be free to choose whether or not to engage in that behavior. But as long as they remain unconscious, the same behavior will repeat itself again and again. So this Hanukkah and the days remaining, let's take some time to really shine the light in a loving way, not in a judgmental way, but to really kind of examine, become aware of some of our behaviors and attitudes that aren't serving us well, and become conscious of our motivations. What's keeping us going? What's keeping us doing this? Why are we reacting the way we are? What might be beneath the surface? When we have that consciousness, when we become aware, that's that light that we're shining. That's that power of the Hanukkah candles. That's that power of remembering God and not forgetting God that allows us to really understand what we're doing and helps us be able to make the change. So again, this was a lot, and I want to just summarize the flow so we can just recap. We explained that Hanukkah is the ideal time to change our habits. We explained that the story of the angel wrestling with Jacob and how he hit him in the thigh joint, and because of that, the Jewish people don't eat the sciatic nerve. And we said that the Kabbalists explained that the rectification for that injury, for the angel's injury of Jacob, was through the Hanukkah candles. That the Hanukkah jug of oil is the same letters, same word reversed as the word for the thigh joint, so that the Hanukkah miracle rectifies that injury. So we said, how does that happen? So we explained that Hanukkah, we talked about that we light the Hanukkah candles until the last foot leaves the marketplace. We said that it also means until the habits are destroyed, that Hanukkah can destroy bad habits, because Hanukkah is a new beginning to get ourselves accustomed to good habits, that it helps us get out of the snare of habits, the trap of habits, which we said corresponds to the same numerical value of snare. 88 is the number of Hanukkah candles we light on a physical and spiritual level. So those Hanukkah candles get us out of those bad habits. But in order to understand how that works, we went back and explained that really the injury of the thigh joint was really about forgetting God, that evil can only overcome us, and the negative things in our life can only happen when we start, when we're living an unconscious life. But when we become unconscious, and that's the goal of the Greek exile. When we become conscious, which is Hanukkah, which is the olive oil, which helps us remember, that's the antidote. So we said that Hanukkah is the antidote to the injury of the thigh joint, which represents forgetfulness. Hanukkah is remembering. Hanukkah is that consciousness and awareness in our life. So again, let's take the time this Hanukkah to shine that light and to become aware and to become conscious, because it's really the greatest gift we can have in all of our relationships, relationship with ourselves, relationship with God, relationship with our friends, with our spouse. To become conscious, it allows us to be free and to really choose the type of life that we want to create instead of being a victim. I want to thank everyone for joining today. I invite you to email us at info@themarriagerestorationproject.com to share any questions or comments you have about today's class. Tomorrow's class, we are going to talk about intention and reactivity, and it's going to kind of take this one step further. We learned about becoming conscious, and we're going to explain how to live a more intentional life in your relationships and not be reactive. So looking forward to having you join us tomorrow at the same time, at 12:30, and hope you have a wonderful Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah, and stay in touch.